morning. Welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we hope the service is a blessing to you. I want to thank Barbara Klassen, who is substituting today. It's such a joy to see her at the organ. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, Colin Welford will be back here with Cindy Steele to present a lovely Valentine's concert. It will be a wonderful event, and it is free for all who would like to attend. This Wednesday, we have a lunch at noon, and we hope to see you at that. This will be a lovely time of fellowship. We used to have lunches every month here until the shutdown, and this will be our first recreation of that lunch, so we're delighted to have that, and we hope to see you there. For Ash Wednesday, which is in a few weeks, we will have midweek Lenten services at the Meadows. That's at the Scandia Village Nursing Home Meadows, and that will be at 1:30 every Wednesday, beginning with Ash Wednesday. And you'll notice in the narthex as you came in that there are calendars for sale. This is for Gibraltar School, and it's to help fund a trip for the young people, and many of the young people have contributed to that calendar with their beautiful photography, including two of our youngsters, Logan and Shayla. So we hope that if you would like to purchase a calendar, to please sign up with your name and number, and Liz Opitz will see that you receive a calendar. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Deuteronomy. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. Please stand as we sing hymn 548, O 4,000 Tongues to Sing.
Thousand tongues to sing, my prayer, great Redeemer.
Liturgy of Grace, found in the front of your hymnals on page 31. We worship you, Lord God, the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. You dwell in the high and holy place, and also with those who are contrite and humble in spirit.
Give us grace to bring you the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart, which you, O God, will not despise.
Should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the unrepentant. Incline your ear and hear, for we do not present our supplications before you on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of your great mercies. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Do not cast us away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain in us a willing spirit. Have mercy upon us according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out our transgressions through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.
Thus says the Lord, I will forgive your iniquity and remember your sin no more. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
that we take up a joyful noise offering. We do this once per month on the second Sunday of the month, and it's for a local charity. And this month, the local charity is Secret Santa. Secret Santa is a charity of Northern Door County, which helps people with their heating bills. And this has been so vital up here in Door County, especially with energy prices rising. There have been many people who have been assisted by this ministry. So whatever is taken up for the joyful noise offering goes directly to Secret Santa. And the way we do this is our children first come and bring their joyful noise offering. You can follow them, or if you prefer to stay seated, the ushers will help collect this offering. So we will now take up our joyful noise offering.
Old Testament scripture lesson is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Our New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you,
Are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we're standing on the threshold of a new life, when we're standing in a transition period, whether that period is from going from your work days to retirement, whether it's children going from one grade to another, whenever there is a transition, we have to pause. We have to take stock. And this is what happened to the people of Israel. They had to pause. They were on the threshold of a new existence. If you remember the story of Israel, they had been miraculously freed from slavery. They had been wandering in the wilderness, so they were nomads for 40 years, and they were standing in a place where they were going to go in and possess land that God had promised them. But before they could go over to that promised land, they had to take stock. They had to listen to a preacher. And the entire book of Deuteronomy is a sermon. Now, wouldn't it be fun if I stood up here and read you 30 plus chapters of a book? Because that's basically what Moses did. He stood up and gave a sermon. And the thing he wanted to do, first of all, was to tell people where they had come. And that's very important when we're making decisions for the future, isn't it? We have to take stock of where we came, from where we came. Think about it. If you are making a big decision, you have to know what were the things that happened in your past that were reliable. Who are the people that you rely on and that you continue to rely on as you go into your future? What are the behaviors that served you? What are the behaviors that did not serve you? What are the things that you have to leave behind and never look back? There are so many decisions when we are on a threshold to a new reality in our lives. And so they had to make certain decisions. Now, the Bible says that Moses was of a very ripe old age, way beyond 100. So he had earned that place to start talking to his people. And I wonder how the young people in the audience responded. Probably rolling their eyes, because, oh, we've heard this story 100 times, how we came from Egypt. Yeah, we know about the plagues and all of that, because our parents insist on telling us every single year, and now we have to hear it again. And then Moses talked about the law and how God gave him the law. And I'm sure he embellished even longer than what we read in Deuteronomy. And the young people probably turned their antenna off because they had heard it all before. Kind of what when our parents talked to us, did you ever tune them out? I know I did. Dad would start waxing poetic, and I could tell by the inflections of his voice when to nod, when to look serious, when to laugh, but I didn't hear a thing. And now that I'm older, I wish I had listened a little more carefully, because he's not around for me to ask the questions. But Moses rehearsed their entire history. And he knew that it was important because they had to know what worked and what didn't. Well, what worked for the people of Israel, what was absolutely reliable, was God. When they turned to God and said, "We're hungry," in the wilderness, God fed them. When they said, "We're thirsty and there's no water," God provided water for them. When they were wandering and they were frightened, God provided everything they needed. God provided his servant Moses that spoke on God's behalf. They had everything they needed. God was reliable. The people of Israel, not so much. And even the rules that God brought down, when you think of the Ten Commandments, they're fairly straightforward and simple. And there were times that the people couldn't even follow those. And so Moses talks about God's reliability and talks about how the people over and over again had problems following God's way. But it's not only taking stock of what happens in the past. Then Moses looks to the future that he's not going to share. He's ready to shuffle off that mortal coil, and his entire generation with him will have died before they get to the promised land. So now he's talking specifically to the people who are going further. And he says, okay, the past is done, but I want you to remember one thing. If you want to live in that land that God's going to give you, if you want to prosper, and by prosper, we're not just talking materially, but thriving as a people. He said, you have to do one thing. You have to choose life. Well, what does that mean, to choose life? He said, everything we've taught you, everything you've learned, I want you to take to that new place. And that's something we need to do when we're on the threshold of decisions, is to take everything we've learned, everything we know of, into that new space. But what I love about this passage is he doesn't say, so here are the Ten Commandments, follow them. You know, it's not rocket science, and whack them over the head like Paul does in the New Testament. You notice that? He just whacks the people over the head. Moses doesn't do that. He says, if you want to choose life, if you want to choose the right path. But he knows the human condition, and he knows sometimes we just veer off. He said, love. The way you do it is loving the Lord your God, obeying him, hold fast to him, for that means life to you. He knew that the only way that we could have a life that we thrive in is to love God first and hold on to God. Because you see, if you love God, then you're going to do what's right by your neighbor. If you love God, we're going to be open-handed with people. If we love God, we're going to follow the Ten Commandments because we want to not only obey God, but we want to take care of the beloved community. If we love God, then God gives us his Spirit, and that Spirit is what motivates us. So we know that when we are going into a new reality, we're going to make mistakes. We might not make all the right choices for us, but we know that God will be with us. And that when we hold on to God, God holds even closer to us. And so what is the next chapter of your life? What's the threshold that you're on? Some of it might be very exciting, and some of it might be a little scary. But what we know is that God loves us, and that when we hold on to God, God will steer us in the right direction. Let us pray. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. thine own image deep on my heart. Lord, we ask that you stamp your image within us, your dream for us, your love for us, so that we might not only thrive in whatever future you hold for us, but that we will be beloved to our family, to our children, to all whom we love. We ask that you would give to us that power to be your servants. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Church today, we'd like to remember the people of Turkey and Syria as they go through this terrible time. We're so grateful for the people that were pulled out of the rubble, but we know that there are tens of thousands of death in Turkey and Syria. We want to remember Dave, who is a friend of Mary, who has leukemia, Anne, daughter of Ellen, with serious health concerns, Elise, Kim, who is out of ICU but is still in need of prayer, Joni, who is still in ICU and each day is a challenge, We were out to remember Vicky's brother Kyle, who's in kidney failure. Kathy. Kathy is doing quite well, and we're just so encouraged by her progress. Maggie, Joel, Barbara, and my sister Linda is going in for knee replacement on Tuesday. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful that we are here today. We're so grateful for your mercy and your kindness. We're so grateful that you love us and that you have formed us into this beloved community so that we can rejoice with each other and bear each other's burdens. We remember the people of Turkey and Syria. We ask, O Lord, that you would bring peace to that troubled land, that you would grant to all your mercy as they mourn their dead. We ask that relief would be speedily brought to that region of the world, and help us to be good neighbors. We remember all of those who are struggling with their health, for Dave, Ann, Elise, Kim, Joni, Kyle, Kathy, Maggie, Joel, Barbara, and Linda. We ask, O Lord, that underneath them would be the everlasting arms, that you would grant to them healing and strength. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Service today, we invite you to our time of fellowship in Fellowship Hall so we can get to know each other better. New life beckons, peace holds out its arms. Begin your week knowing that you are walking straight into the embrace of God. Amen.